is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
.10:03 on ESPN 97.5. We're late to come in because somebody was looking up 1989 Detroit Pistons starting lineups. Okay. On a weekend when the Texans improved, I mean, possibly to a playoff team, the way that they've gone about it, on a weekend where LeBron James almost died.
Did you see his Twitter post?
Did you see it?
Like, tear your Achilles? What are you talking about?
No, he's... And then somebody retweeted and said, dude, you sprained your ankle.
Exactly.
Oh, his Twitter post said...
He's like, oh, nothing hurts me more than not to be there with my teammates. Bro, it's a high ankle sprain.
And listen, now it's just all about the rehab and getting back there for my guys. And
David Questenberry didn't write something as emotional when he was recovering from cancer. Why don't you relax, LeBron?
Yeah, Tiger hasn't posted this.
And he was in a horrible car accident.
Talk about dramatic. Oh, my gosh.
That's your dude. That's your guy.
That's not my dude. I mean, talk about... Now, that dude... And did you think Solomon Hill was dirty?
No, I don't know what Montrezl Harrell's talking about.
No, and not only him, other people...
Wasn't Montrezl Harrell on a team where one of the Morris twins stepped on Luka's ankle on purpose in the playoffs?
He played with Pat Beverly.
Yeah, but even last season, Morris brother was allegedly stepping on Luka's ankle and looked kind of purposefully, and we knew Luka was dealing with injury. I don't think Montrezl Harrell said at any point, we really need to look at that. That's not a basketball play. Solomon Hill reached for the ball, was off balance, and he collided into LeBron's ankle. He didn't dive into his ankle. He reached, and he didn't get the ball.
Stop it.
It's embarrassing.
LaMelo's done for the season, and he didn't even... I can't be there for my guys.
He's out indefinitely. He didn't tweet about the worst part of being a... Stop it.
Okay? And LaVar's at it again. Why Michael Jordan can't help him.
Well, we talked about how LaVar had been quiet. The best part about his boys being pretty good was him not talking. Now he talks about how he wants New Orleans to trade Lonzo, and it might be great for New Orleans or good for it because I don't know if they want to re-sign him and he's going to be a restricted free agent. He might make more money than they're willing to give him, so they should probably trade him before the trade deadline. But yeah, he's out there talking again.
Yeah. No, that Michael Jordan can't help LaMelo.
With his wrist? He's right about that.
Yeah, he's not a doctor.
No. What can he help him with?
I don't know. Can't help his game. Whatever. I don't know. I see a LaVar headline and
why
I go,
why'd you bring
no.
that to the table?
Not doing that. I don't know. So LaMelo done for the season. Blake Griffin apparently dunked. No, he didn't.
That was his first basket for the Nets, was a dunk. And people are like, the Pistons should get cap relief from him for what he did. Like, that was a joke that his first game with the Pistons, he dunked. But he did it. I mean, Nets, he would dunk. But he did it. He hadn't dunked for the Pistons since December of 2019.
Yeah.
And his first game. Oh, look at me.
And then this weekend... It's so amazing how stupid. Now, it's going to be stupid, though. Apparently, at Roger Dean Stadium, okay, the Marlins spring training facility, one of the security people wearing an official polo with security in big black letters on the back just spent Alex Bregman's entire plate appearance banging a trash can before every pitch. Bregman struck out looking. This is going to happen now.
Yeah, people thought we were done with this. I didn't. I mean, everyone still wants their pound of flesh. They want some of this, and they're going to get it. Like, he is a paid employee. No one went over and said, hey, knock that off. They just let him do it because I guess that's what you're allowed to do. As long as the Astros are in town, you get to do stuff like that.
You do stuff, right? Well, and apparently somebody was, which guy was coming up? Somebody, Jose Siri? It might have been Siri was coming up to the plate, and people were yelling at him, cheaters!
Jose's like, I just got here.
I
got here. Leave me alone. I don't know what you're talking about.
What? Is Altuve going to lead off?
Well,
that's probably going
to
be it.
Do you want him to lead off?
I don't. Yeah, I want him to hit. Let's see how he's hitting. If he's your best hitter and he's, you know, he's got some pop, he can run still a little bit. He's not going to clog the bases. I mean, he's not going to steal as many bases as he used to. But, yeah, Altuve would be a fine leadoff hitter. I want, if he's going to hit this year, I want him as many plate appearances as possible. Yes, that'd be great. Now, if he doesn't hit, then if he's like last year, then drop him.
Yeah, well, I wonder how that'll play out. Well, because of his stature, how long, if he does struggle, he'll stay in that spot. You know, he had to ask out of it last year and does the AccuS, but he was just going to leave him there out of respect. And apparently, this news came out a couple weeks ago that Altuve, we know he struggled last year from the plate until the postseason. Apparently, he had some deaths in the family, so it was more than just he's having a bad year baseball wise and the pressure of playing with you know, the cheating scandal. He had some issues with people, and people died. So a tough year for him. We'll see if a new year and a new season brings about the Altuve we're used to seeing.
Yep. Now, and the big story here locally, Cougs won. The Cougs won, and it was tough. It was, they were down double digits with, what, 4-6 minutes left in the game. They outscored them 14-2 at the end and ended up winning by 3. And Kelvin Sampson said, listen, I don't care. You know, you look at that and you go, well, how are they going to beat Syracuse now after they, you know, just got by Rutgers? And he said, I don't care. You know what? We're in the Sweet 16.
Just seemed like there's so many negatives that were going against us that really forced us to persevere. Our perseverance and just refusal to wilt, to go away. You know, did we play poorly? Yes. That's okay. There's a lot of teams that played a lot better than us that's at home tonight. So don't get carried away if you don't play good. I don't you say, well, that's an ugly win. It's a win. This time of year, I don't evaluate them. You know, what did you think about this? We won the game. We're in the Sweet 16, and we play Syracuse next Saturday. That's the bottom line.
Well, and hopefully they can get Giroux healthy. Although he looked pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah. When they needed him down the stretch, he was out there. You could see him when he didn't have to be active consistently. He would grab at the hip. So hopefully it won't be a thing that carries over. But we'll see. He looks like he aggravated it. It was early in that second half when Rutgers was making a run and the Cougs were trying to stay in it. I won't call it fast break. It was 1-on-1. I guess you want to call it fast break. And he got fouled and he fell. And then it looked like that flared it up. And he was never the same in terms of holding it throughout the rest of the game. The two games I locked in on were the Texas and Abilene Christian game, the Houston Rutgers game. Mainly because it's funny to watch Texas in situations where they could lose. It's one of the joys of of watching Texas.
No. Can't, and you know, everybody was rooting against them.
Yeah. But Houston and Abilene Christian, they kind of did it in similar ways. It felt like just force of will. It wasn't like, oh, they were so skillful offensively. They got great possessions every time to get back in the game. It just felt like energy, rebounding, the will to just keep going. Like, Houston looked out of it multiple times, and even Abilene Christian, that game was closer, and they're trying to hold Texas off. But some of the improbable shots, like in the post where they would bank it over a 7-footer and it would go in, in a late clock situation. Even the backhanded, can't even see the rim layups that they are attempting, but they are getting on the boards and getting rebounds. That stuff was more about effort and will. And they just had both Houston and Abilene Christian had more of it than Texas. And I rewatched the foul call. I felt like it was a clear foul. Coleman, like almost half full windup to smack the ball, and he made contact. I get it, it's late, but that's a foul. Yeah. I'm not sure what the complaint is.
No. That was a foul. I mean, in both instances, Texas game and Houston game.
Yeah.
They were both fouls.
They're fouls.
Yeah.
We can get into situational, but he disrupted an opportunity for a putback, and it wasn't subtle. So I felt it's an easy call, at least in my eyes.
Yep. Giroux said, my hip hurts so bad in the post game, but I just ain't want to go home. I told Coach Sampson, put me back in. I just did what I had to do to help my team get this win. He did. That was gutsy. It was great.
Yeah, it was. I didn't want to see Houston go out. I don't know if it's a special team. That'll get determined by how they do the rest of the way. But it's a team that should have advanced at least to the Sweet 16. And, I mean, AJ tweeted out that with Illinois out of the region, it's wide open. Well, I mean, Loyola Chicago looks like the best team in the bracket. So I'm not sure if it's wide open. But yeah. At least they'll get to the second weekend and maybe have their shot at them.
Well, it was. I don't know how U of H is going to get past Illinois. Now it's, I don't know how you're going to get past Loyola Chicago.
Yeah. They're one of those teams, when you watch them play, their offense is far more pro-like than most of the offenses you see. The movement, how they get guys open coming off screens. You don't, at least the games I watch from the, I guess you say the high majors, you don't see a lot of that. You see a lot of pick and roll. You see our athlete against your athlete. Loyola Chicago is getting open. Their offense is creating open looks as opposed to their athletes going to get open
looks.
Well,
it's a high post offense. You don't see that.
You don't
anymore.
See it. It's unique and it's difficult to defend.
It's like the triple option.
You have to be sound at all times. It's not just, okay, stay in front of my man. You have to be aware of the counters and what guys are doing when they're coming off screens or setting or flaring off the post. I imagine for teams who don't see it often, it's pretty difficult to play against because you have to be locked in every possession.
Well, go up and get in Krutwig's face. And then do you think, like, the alley-oop to Krutwig where he just tips it in off the backboard, you know, that alley-oop that they threw up there? You think those go like they did against Illinois?
Well, we don't watch them play every day.
Well, they were 24-4. So.
Yeah, so that stuff is probably working a lot.
Probably, but my goodness, they look like they were the one seed. 10:15 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here to hang out with us.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. More moves. All right. I guess the linebackers next year are going to be Cunningham, Jordan Jenkins, and Christian Kirksey.
And I guess, are we judging it by length of and money of the deals?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Jordan Jenkins just got 2 years, $6 million, could go up to $8 million. Kirksey got 1 year, $4.5 million.
So, was there another one who got 2 years, or is that the really big names?
Well, those are the bigger names. Don't forget, you got Kamu Grugier.
The best coverage linebacker.
1 year, 3.25.
Well, he's one of the best coverage linebackers in
football.
In
the history of the game.
That's what we were told.
Right now, Shaq Lawson and Derek Rivers.
Isn't Whitney your other defensive end?
Yeah.
I'm not joking. Who are you going to put Rivers in over Whitney?
I mean, Whitney couldn't even start at the end of last year.
Well, it's a different system now. Different defensive coordinator as well.
Malik Collins is going to be inside. And don't you have anybody? Brandon Dunn? Is he still on is he still alive?
Doesn't matter who's on the roster.
No, I know. It doesn't matter. Actually, you could put together a whole team of guys that he just picked up.
And that's kind of what he's doing.
I guess.
I imagine he wants to flush all of what he sees from last year out. Like, although there haven't been as well, I say that, but we see guys on the defensive end who would probably take over. But what about offensively? There's no replacement for Brandon Cooks. He didn't get even a close upgrade. Is Randall Cobb out?
Oh, well, if not, he will be. You still got Chad Hansen. You picked up Dante Moncrief and Alex Erickson.
Uh-huh. So okay. These feel like types where you're certainly churning in the bottom of that wide receiver rotation. Seems like Kiki QT he'll be in a fight in training camp to see if he can keep his job.
I don't think he keeps his job.
Well, I think they'll give him the opportunity. There's no reason to cut him now. Just let it play out during training camp. But the offense is David Johnson and it is silly that you bring in Lindsey, you're still going to pay and play David Johnson. Lindsey's a better player.
I think you were forced to with the money. I mean, you were almost. Listen,
well,
by the end of the year, David Johnson won't be seen a few.
Now, they couldn't have foreseen, I guess, that Lindsey would come available. But now that it's Lindsey and Mark Ingram, do we really need to see David Johnson out on the field?
No. But listen, okay, under over number of 2020 Texans that will start on defense.
You mean new Texans?
No, old Texans. 2020.
Oh, 2020 Texans. Do I believe Bradley Roby will still be here? I think I do.
Okay.
So one, Reed. So that's two for me. Ross Blocklock ain't starting. I don't see that. Linebackers. I don't think Whitney should make it to the opening day roster. But does it cost them to cut him?
Well, you just gave Jenkins and Kirksey some money.
Well, those are linebackers.
Grugier Hill.
Whitney's would be a rush end.
You're
going to
talk about a rush end. Well, you just gave Derek. Well, you only gave him 1.3. So I mean, like you paid him a lot of money. But Shaq Lawson, for sure.
Sure, he'll start. But I think Whitney would start on the other side.
I don't. I think.
Do you think he's on the roster?
I don't know that Whitney's going to be here.
That's what I'm.
I don't think Whitney's going to be here.
Well, it costs.
They're going to do something.
It cost them 3.1.
I know, but it's just there's zero production. Zero production.
But it's not like they brought on guys who have a future here after this, after 2021. It's not like they signed a young guy who they really want to see snaps from. If I saw that guy on the roster, I would agree with you. But there's not a up and coming defensive end that should get time because Whitney stinks. There's just another journeyman behind him.
Well, if you can get a fourth rounder for Whitney
who's giving you a fourth rounder for him and his money?
You just tried.
I know you tried. But who's giving you that?
I'm telling you. You might get a fourth or a fifth rounder.
From who? To pay him that?
Bill O'Brien?
He can't trade him now. You can't trade him to Alabama. You can't trade him to Alabama.
No, I would like to.
I'm sure you would. But even Alabama says, nah, we got better players.
I think somebody's stupid out there. Somebody is.
Okay.
Listen. He had four sacks.
That doesn't mean anything. What does that mean? He's got four sacks, and you want to pay, and some team wants to give up a fourth rounder and pay him $10.5 million.
They gave him that $54 million when he had a half a sack over a 9-game stretch that he played. He had a half a sack, and they gave him $54 million.
But he's a locker room guy, though.
But I'll tell you this: I certainly like the DBs better.
Yeah, Terrence Mitchell,
Desmond King.
Uh huh. You have some actual NFL talent.
Yeah.
Which makes signing Vernon Hargraves even more astonishing. Now that you can't know everything that's going to happen, but you mean to tell me you couldn't have come back to Vernon Hargraves if things didn't work out in free agency? You wasn't going to be waiting.
Vernon Hargraves don't see the field.
I know. That's my point. Yeah. Why would you even sign him? He would have been waiting for you if you couldn't get guys.
I have no idea. I don't get that. That was one I don't get. And just getting rid of Whitney, getting out of Whitney. I think there are going to be three starters: Cunningham, Roby, and Reed, and unless you get rid of Roby, there's a possibility you get rid of Roby, then maybe Whitney. I don't know. But I could see a situation where I'm going to put the under over 3.5 starters from last year.
It's a good number, and I think it all depends on whether Whitney is here or not. Well, what about Aminahu? Well, if Whitney's not here, is Aminahu starting?
Ooh, there's another one. Aminahu's got a chance to start. Aminahu's got a chance to start. That's it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they've taken care of their linebackers. They're taking care of their DBs. I guess Terrence Brooks is going to be a star. I guess he's going to.
So over Lonnie Johnson?
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if one might play free, one might play strong. I'm not sure how that interchanges.
Justin is the other one.
I just don't know how it interchanges in Lovie's system.
Because if you're going to start five defensive backs, it's going to be Terrence Mitchell.
Yeah. He's your starting left corner. Well, or a field or boundary,
Desmond
however.
King probably is.
King is more of a nickel, I thought. A big nickel. At least that's what Lance talked about when he was signed.
Well, one of them.
I think they'll both be on the field. They should be.
Yeah. I mean, if you're starting five DBs, both of those guys are starting.
Yeah. Well, if Roby's here, he'll be the other corner. Then you got Reed and whoever you want to play at safety.
Yeah, Mitchell's 5'11". That's probably going to be the case.
Yeah, I think he's just a thicker-bodied inside nickel corner.
Well, Desmond is thick, too. 5'10", 200.
Oh, I was thinking of Desmond, not the...
Yeah, Desmond has been inside.
Yeah. So I think if we're starting with five DBs, which is how the NFL kind of works now, you'll have Desmond King as your nickel, and then the safety position is the one that Lonnie Johnson currently holds will be the one you figure out.
Yeah, Lonnie Johnson won't be starting. 1026 ESPN 97.5, 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6 is the number if you'd like to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5, shortest breaks in the world. That was a minute break. What are you doing in there, Del? Start selling some commercials.
That's my job?
Yeah.
Is it Del account exec too?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
No. Hey, we're role players here. Everybody's got to play their part.
I'm in the role play, but not that type.
Yeah. Ooh. Is Julia still in there? And she's hearing this kind of talk?
She's out there answering the phone.
Thank you.
Oh, because what you said earlier in the show was clean and
listen,
not aggressive.
Is Julia ready for her women's college basketball update?
She has said yes multiple times. You better get it done now because News of the Weird is next.
That's right. We'll get Carrie in here, and then it's... time to bring in, because I'm an ally. I want to know, men's basketball, University of Houston. Oh, Oral Roberts. Oh.
Do you know anyone who won yesterday in the women's tournament?
I know that Julia's going to tell me all about it.
Oh, that's not the question.
Probably won, I think. I don't know.
Oh, that's a great guess on your part.
I don't
any
know.
Other team, can you guess?
I don't know if they, I don't, any other team? Yeah, Baylor.
Did they play yesterday?
No idea.
You don't know that.
No idea.
You don't know.
Carrie's here. What's up, Carrie?
Hey, guys. Hey, I was listening earlier to the 9 o'clock hour to Tatiana's call and her theory about the Texans are responsible for Deshaun. That's obviously a silly take, but I will share the backstory on this because this is a situation where it's really Tony Busby who has the axe to grind. I don't know if y'all remember this, but he and Cal were neighbors in River Oaks, and they were both, you know, they're both avid tennis players. I don't know if you remember that, but you know that, but. And they had a championship match, clay court championship match, and Cal made a very bad call, a set call at the end of the match, which cost Tony the match. And that created a big beef. There were witnesses. I'm not a member out there, but I have some friends. There were witnesses who said that got really nasty in the parking lot, and Tony was shaking his fist at Cal and saying, something like, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get the Texans, and...
Thank Deshaun. That's a shame. His phone broke up. I wonder if it's the same source that provided him with the Mike Fiers is conspiring with Jim Crane to ruin the Astros.
Yeah.
We remember that from last week, too.
Right. Jim Crane and Mike Fiers met, and then the next day.
Because Crane hated A.J. Hinch.
Right.
I wonder where I just wonder if it's the same source that gave him that story.
I don't know. All I know is that, I didn't know. Can you see Cal in a tennis
playing
match?
Tennis? I could see him playing tennis. It feels like one of those sports.
Yeah, but it'd be like he kind of hits it underhanded. I mean, not really.
You don't, without any force, you mean no skill? I wonder. Well, Cal played football, though, so I don't know if tennis is his thing.
Yeah.
We haven't heard that.
No. Well, that's interesting. I hadn't heard the River Oaks tennis match. theory,
the one that lives in infamy in River Oaks that no one wants to talk about. They all talk about it in hushed tones because it can bring up bad feelings. I'm sure it's a story that goes around the club quite a bit. Cal and Tony Busby in their tennis battle, where Tony Busby allowed Cal to call, I guess, a bad call, and it ruined their relationship as well.
Yeah.
Sure.
Uh-huh. No, it ruined it. And it ruined Deshaun.
I'm going to
destroy
get you,
the organization.
The Texans and ruin Deshaun.
I'm going to get you and Deshaun now.
Deshaun's like, what?
All right. Is Julia ready for her update?
I have to go grab her. Well, hold on. I have to go get her and allow Julia, her into the room.
Get it. Hurry up. Let's go. I need your update. Let's go. I need to find out what's happening.
She says she doesn't have one.
See,
he didn't take you seriously.
Julia, what are you doing here?
She's learning how to be a producer.
Basketball update. This is important. Everybody here wants to know what happened, and Julia can be the ace reporter on the scene, ready to give everybody updates about what's happening in the women's college game.
She's not on the scene.
Well, on this scene.
You can be that. You have a computer in front of you.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Yeah, you can pull up the scores.
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, exactly. She's not in San Antonio.
Man, I was accidentally, we were at a restaurant yesterday at 11, you know, brunch after church, and the ESPN had the game coming up, and I was like, oh my God, I'm almost about to watch some women's college basketball. What happened?
Did you complain and make them change the channel?
No, I didn't. You'd be proud of me. I'm an ally.
No, you're not an ally.
Team Jamel.
Are you, though?
Yeah.
I asked you this before. What is Jamel up to since you're Team Jamel?
How about this? I follow her on Twitter.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was asking what people are going to wear in somebody versus somebody, is there some kind of rap battle?
I don't know. Versus? Yeah, versus.
Yeah. And she was asking everybody what they're wearing to it.
So, and what are you wearing since you're Team Jamel? Did you answer her?
I'm not going, but if I would have, I probably khakis.
You don't have to.
Khakis and
khakis.
A button down.
And a button down?
Yeah.
To a versus battle?
Yeah.
You ain't got no swag.
No. I want to stand. You don't think I'd stand out?
I think multiple reasons
As opposed to coming in with a babushka.
Cam's. Not everyone dresses like Cam.
There's going to be a bunch of people dressed like that.
Not everyone dresses like Cam.
I'm going to be different.
You're going to wear a button down and some khakis? Wendy doesn't even buy you khakis.
Huh?
Wendy doesn't buy you khakis.
No, she won't let me wear
No, khakis. You're not wearing khakis. Even your jeans are slim fit. You got the Jose starter pack on in there.
Yeah. No, they're not.
You had the same jeans on as a 20-something producer at one point. Light blue. You had the same jeans on. You and Jose.
That is not... She does. I'm just.
Yeah,
I can't. But what am I going to do? It's the only clothes in my closet.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Say no?
It's the only thing I got.
Just put them on.
She makes me do it. Oh my gosh. Please buy me some baggy jeans, woman.
No, she knows. That's not the style. When that style comes back, if it ever does, she'll buy them. But right now, you got to look. I'm not going to use the word hip because that's not cool at all. But you got to look up to date.
Yeah. No. Me and Sister Jean, we're dressing, we're styling.
Don't run up on Sister Jean.
No, so, no, because guess what? You get done up.
You'll get the two-piece. You heard
it. For those of you that didn't hear Sister Jean earlier in the show, Sister Jean was on. You can hear it at ESPN975.com.
That is the new podcast page, no longer podcast for it. And I believe Julia, when she's not, you know, ignoring your request for updates on women's college basketball, she made that a separate event, so you can click on that. You don't have to go through the entire hour.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, so you can find it there.
Sister Jean said, "You run up, you get done up."
Yeah, you'll catch that two piece. She's talking directly to you because she didn't appreciate your disrespect.
You'll catch that two piece, Sister Jean said.
The 1-2 is what that is. A left and a right, John. Watch yourself.
Oh, that was kind of funny.
I don't know. Sister Jean sounded eerily familiar.
Sister Jean sounded like she was from the South.
Well, although she was born in California, currently lives in
San
Chicago.
Francisco. Did they say y'all?
I've never heard it.
No. And she said something else that was...
Wick? What did she say?
Woik.
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 Woik. That's not Southern,
That's
is
not
it?
Work. That's a,
woik.
They say work. Yeah. Woik. She dropped a woik on us.
The woik.
Doing woik. What?
I don't know. I don't know where that's from.
Do you think, okay, so the Rockets play again tonight?
Yes, they play the Raptors, who are in the midst of trade talks themselves. So we don't know what that the Raptors have lost 8 in a row, but we're not sure what that roster looked like tonight. They could trade a couple guys.
Yeah. Around the league, Houston's two-time All-Star guard Victor Oladipo is increasingly regarded as one of, if not the most decorated players to be traded in the next 4+ days. Do you think that they're going to get a first rounder for Victor Oladipo?
Yeah, that's another part of a different report that the Rockets are looking for a first and a good young player for Victor Oladipo, which is a reason currently while they're having some issues.
He's playing better now. You know what? Kind of cool that he's playing well right now as we head into trade deadline.
Can 4 or 5 games convince people that the last 2+ years aren't a thing? Because he has a long resume of not being very good the last 2.5 years.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. So,
or injured, by the way. It's either not good or injured.
So where did Ohio finish in their conference?
I don't know. Where did they finish?
The last 2 weeks have convinced everybody they're good.
Yeah.
What about Oregon State? Oh, they're good.
But they've had longer runs of sustained success than Victor Oladipo has.
I know, but I'm just looking for a couple of games. What about Georgetown? Georgetown.
And how did that work out for them when they got into a new thing?
Not good.
Yeah. So let's trade Victor Oladipo someplace, which would help the Rockets, and the other team's like, why do we give up a first rounder and a good young player for this guy? And then we got to pay him a max at the end of the season?
What about UCLA? How about that?
Forget
Georgetown. What about UCLA?
Why are you comparing?
Last 3 games. That's it.
And once again, that's almost as long as Victor Oladipo's run. And good congratulations to UCLA. It ain't the same thing. Victor Oladipo's had 2+ years of injuries and stinking. I'm not giving you a first rounder and a young player for him. No wonder the Rockets are having trouble.
I'm just disgusted with you. I don't want to trade
They better you. Tone that down.
Listen, you have a history of not trading well with Houston teams. So
no, not my I'm teams. Done with you. Not my teams. My teams make out quite well.
What do you think about Will Fuller?
I'm glad they gave him that as opposed to what they could have given Kenny Golladay.
And yeah, look at where he made. He's making 18 a year.
Yeah, they had to have a meeting with him, and he had to convince the Giants like it was a job interview that they should pay him what he wanted. And I guess whatever he said in that meeting got him his money.
I'm gonna do that with David Gao.
You think? Okay.
Okay.
Kenny Galladay's.
Set up that meeting. Julia, set up a meeting with me and David Gao.
He can't hear you. My mic's on. He would like you to set up a meeting with David Gao because he's looking for a big deal.
Yep.
New deal.
Me and Kenny Galladay. Yep. Johnny Galladay. That's it.
Do you think your radio production equates to the almost 18 yards a catch for him or 17, whatever it is?
That's exactly what I am. I
think you're wrong.
Set that up.
He's the only.
Let's go, Gao.
He's the only receiver who got a big time long term deal. And he didn't even play much last year. He was injured. And you've had some stories about him. Probably the reason why he had to convince the Giants. Juju got a 1-year deal, went back to Pittsburgh. Will Fuller only got a 1-year deal. Who was the other one?
Corey Davis, though.
But he wasn't even considered one of the top. It was not Samuel out of Carolina.
Curtis
Samuel. He went to Washington, and his deal wasn't as good as Kenny Golladay. He got the best deal, the one that sets you up for a lifetime, I guess you want to call it that.
Well, wasn't Golladay the number one? Oh, Allen Robinson got a franchise.
Yeah, he couldn't even the Bears, they were like, we'll give you a franchise.
Well, but the Bears to hold on to him. Boy, he would have gotten a big deal out there.
Yeah, but even his team wouldn't give it to him. I guess they have money issues, but
who knows? They might come to terms.
They may.
Well, if he wants to be a Bear.
He want
to
catch passes from Andy Dalton this year and then do it again?
Ooh, his agent listens to the show.
Well, Julius just went to no. You don't.
No, so she's wow, not, Julia.
She was thinking Russell Wilson was coming. You got to understand the disappointment.
Julia. Okay, you got Andy Dalton. Love it. Love your team.
Not with that thumbs down she's
giving. Guess what's going to happen? Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, beat it.
Yeah, you come out of the offseason.
Andy Dalton's going to be a coach killer.
And it's not his fault. It's just he's just the next in line of average to below average Bears quarterbacks you got to deal
that's
with.
That's what the Bears do and have done forever.
That is one of those elite franchises in terms of history, and they've never been able to find one. Never.
Never.
Not in my lifetime, not before me. Who was
McMahon.
It?
McMahon.
And he was. Yeah. He happened to be a part of a. He was better than Trent Dilfer.
Cutler.
But
Cutler. Stop it.
The leading. Oh, he's the best quarterback they've ever
had. It's embarrassing.
That's the best quarterback that organization's ever had.
Even, don't they have one of the old guys? Wasn't he good? When George Halas was coaching?
Yeah.
Didn't they have a good quarterback?
Yeah, but
then?
They didn't throw it all.
Yeah. It's not Cutler. You mean in the modern era is Cutler?
Yeah. Well, no, they stayed lost. That Cutler's the best.
Who was it? Didn't they have a quarterback way back when the Bears were actually kind of dominant under Halas?
Yeah, I can't remember. It was he was terrible. Yeah, Bears QB's history. Let's see. Oh, they had Jim Harbaugh, Rex Grossman,
George Blanda. Was he really old when he played for them?
Yeah, no, he was really young, I think, when they got him.
Oh, okay.
Sid
Luckman. I told Sid you there was one of those guys whose name Luckman. I couldn't remember.
Sid Luckman was a guy. And scene.
He was a four-time All-Pro. Don't disrespect Sid Luckman by giving Jay Cutler the title.
You want to look at the passing stats?
I understand it was a different time.
Historically, their passing stats?
Understood. But Jay Cutler wouldn't be a four-time All-Pro in Luckman's era.
No, ever.
Yeah. So, Luckman's the guy.
Oh, I don't know. In Luckman's era, who knows? I mean, Jay Cutler might have been Johnny Unitas back then.
Well, he's the all-time leading passer in Bears history.
I mean, that's all you had to do was hit slow white guys running down the field.
Like at Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
No.
That's what he did.
He actually didn't have slow white guys at Vanderbilt. I think he had the Bennett receiver. I forgot his first name.
Yeah, they had guys.
Earl Bennett, I think he had.
They had. That's right. They had guys that were doing stuff, bad stuff.
That was after his time under James. That was James Franklin.
Yeah. And then James Franklin turns that into.
He went to Penn State, another place where his guys do bad stuff, apparently. But even his own guys.
Yeah.
The guys who
Micah Parsons. What did he do, Dell? You want to explain that to everybody?
Ooh, Micah Parsons. If you missed that, one probably the best inside linebacker in the draft who may fall because of his character concerns. He used to, for a time, use his, how do I put this? He would use his penis to taunt teammates. He would put it in their face, pretend to do stuff to them, put it on their buttocks. Not a good guy.
Mm-mm. Yeah. This is me at a versus battle with the Astros hat on. Okay, a little sideways.
I've seen
that.
That's
what Art says.
Yeah, I don't. You would stand out for multiple reasons.
It's the Isley Brothers versus Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's kind of. I mean, that's music you've heard before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't be out of place listening to it.
No, but I'm gonna wear my khakis. And my button down.
Wendy wouldn't let you. Even if somehow you got a special invite. Wendy wouldn't let you wear khakis.
I got to get invited to it?
No, I think it's an online thing. You just watch it.
Oh. Well, then why is she asking what everybody's wearing to it?
Because maybe that's the joke. Oh. What everyone's wearing to it when you can just sit at home and do it.
Oh, man, she's too funny for me. She's way over my head, Jamel.
I told you're not Team Jamel.
Time to take a break. When we come back, News of the Weird. Right now, though, I'm talking about my peeps over at the MMA law firm. That's McClenny, Mosley, and Associates. And what they do right now is they get you. The insurance company is screwing you, okay? I don't know what your claim is, but if you have a claim under the insurance company and they are saying no, well, McClenny, Mosley, and Associates are here for you. They're going to swoop. They're going to dive in. They're going to look at your claim. They're going to look at your policy absolutely free. And then they're going to advise you on the best course of action. And then they're going to deal with the insurance company. And you know what the insurance company does? They are going to definitely not be happy when they find out that the MMA law firm is involved in this thing because they're awesome at this. And if you're looking for a great way to actually have somebody on your side and take care of this business, absolutely free. They'll look at your claim. Go to largelossattorneys.com. That's largelossattorneys.com. They're awesome. You'll love doing business with them. It's absolutely free. No obligation. largelossattorneys.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 News of the Weird Time. Zack Snyder's Justice League. You're a Justice League guy, right?
Or no, that's DC. I'm not really. I'm not a huge fan of the DC universe. I'm more, as you say, a Marvel guy.
Apparently, Justice League jumps from third worst to fourth best DCEU film on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Zack Snyder, the much hyped, much talked about his rendition of, or his edition of Justice League. As we talked about it last week, like his daughter died, so he stepped away from making it. It was taken over by a different director, and it stunk. He did it. Oh, the first hour or so, hour plus, is very similar to the first one, but there's more backstory. It's better. I mean, it shouldn't have been in the theater. It's like four plus hours. It's much better as a home experience because you get to step away from it if you like. It's better. But being higher up in the DC universe isn't a big accomplishment because the top three are the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, the ones that Raheel, like, wouldn't touch himself over, those, the Dark Knight stuff. Him and Nuno love those. Those
yeah,
are the best.
I know.
Those really, like, a real creepy way of loving it. Those are the top three. And then anything else is whatever.
I know. It's
you remember when they were here, they love that those three movies.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight trilogy. Did you see any of them?
I saw the Batman Rises or Batman.
Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. That was the final one of the trilogy. Batman. And of course the Bane voice became a thing for everybody. And he talked in that gravelly voice.
Yeah, no. Hey, stop talking like that. Just talk like a regular.
No, he's Batman. That's why he talks
like that. Talk like a regular.
The problem with you, as far as these movies are, you're a casual. You don't understand.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, here's bad news. You're not going to move to Utah. The Utah governor signs a bill requiring biological fathers to share the cost of pregnancy.
Why would that would keep me from moving?
Yeah, you're not going to go to Utah now.
I would not move to Utah because of that responsibility. I mean, I'm not planning on getting anyone pregnant anyway.
Yeah, but if you do,
you think I'm such a trash person that would be the reason I wouldn't want to move to Utah because I wouldn't want to take on half of the financial responsibility?
Yeah.
Well, who do you think I am?
Well, I don't know. But you don't want that, do you?
I don't want children, but if I decided I wanted them, moving to Utah,
No. This is for guys who don't want the children. They have to share the cost of pregnancy.
Well, they should.
No. Well, you probably. I mean, you don't have to here.
You know what?
You don't have to here. You do there,
understood.
So you're not moving there.
But I'm not such a trash person that if it came down to it where a woman was pregnant, I would not. I would shirk that responsibility. I would just be proactive and not have it happen.
I think you probably are.
You think less of me than you should.
No, I don't. I can't. No, I don't think I've hit the bottom of where I can think.
No,
of you.
I'm not saying you can't think lower of me. What I'm saying is you already think less of me than you should.
No. According to you.
Yes, exactly. Because I said it. Yes, it's according to me.
Miami Beach has declared a state of emergency over spring break crowds, and a Fox News anchor is in some trouble. She was disgusted apparently with how they weren't wearing any masks.
When did that become a thing over there?
Well, no, they want her fired now. The Fox News watchers want her fired because she said that they shouldn't. Because she said Arthel Neville, is that the guy?
If you say so, I don't know.
I don't know. She suggested that vacationers on spring break have too many freedoms if they refuse to wear a mask.
On Fox News,
you're trying to take away freedoms?
Don't talk about freedoms that way. Miami people are so pissed. Every time those clips are shown, like you see it on Twitter, like no one from Miami is there. Because no one in Miami really goes to South Beach. It's not a thing Miami people do. It's much like the Riverwalk, I guess. It's like just a touristy attraction. Everyone's like, no one in Miami would be there. You're making us look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the dynamics, but yeah, if you are a Fox News person and suggesting taking away people's freedoms, you're done. You know, I was in a furniture store looking for some stuff yesterday, and because of the rules now, you can walk around without masks. People still were, but it was like weird to watch people just tra-la-la-la-la, no mask. It's a weird thing now. It's not against the law, and the furniture company was letting them, but it was like,
most places won't let you come in with it, even without
they
a mask.
Let them.
Still.
You want to guess the demographics of the people not wearing masks?
Whitey.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Republican Tom Reed, he's a congressman. he's in some trouble. He was going to run against Governor Cuomo in New York. He's not doing it anymore, Del. Actually, he had demanded that Cuomo resign, but now he's had to quit politics over his sexual misconduct claim.
So he felt he was almost in a perfect spot. You got the trashy Cuomo who had done enough where approval ratings couldn't have been great. You had the COVID thing with the senior citizens and now this, and he screwed it up too?
Yep.
Was he a Democrat?
Well, he said he was struggling in early 2017 when the incident occurred.
So what did he do?
He entered treatment for alcohol. He was wasted and he went after somebody. I mean, can you really blame him?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You can.
I said, can you really? And the answer is yes. And the answer is yes.
Then why did you say, I'm sorry? Because you said it like.
No. I just said, he was wasted. What are you going to do?
Speaking of questions.
Are you, though?
Yeah. Yeah. A white headmaster is in some trouble. Apparently, he reportedly told an 11-year-old black student to apologize to a teacher the African way by kneeling down to the ground.
Oof. Oof. You know, I don't know that.
How did you become the headmaster of a school if you're too stupid to be a headmaster?
You asked this question quite a bit. You're too dumb to teach. You're too dumb to do this. Even self-preservation. Like, even if that dumb thought rolls through your head, isn't there a filter that... Well, you don't have a filter, so I'm asking
I
the
have a
person.
Filter.
But wouldn't there be a filter
I
that says...
I never say anything.
Sure. Wouldn't there be a filter that says, this could get me fired? Yeah. I'm not going to ask that.
This is... Anytime you put a specific race on something, think about it again. Except unless you're making fun of Whitey. See, I make fun of Whitey all the time.
You don't think Whitey should win basketball games.
No. I think that this is the year of Whitey.
You're picking Oregon because Iowa's too white.
They are too white.
See?
There's no question. They're too white. But I also picked Gonzaga, so there's a...
Well, there's a balance there. Is it because of Jalen Suggs?
No, it's because of how good they are. How good the white guys are.
Iowa's whites aren't good enough?
Nah.
Okay.
Not even close to Gonzaga's good white guys. It's 10:56, ESPN 97.5. We're done. Charlie Polillo next right here on the show. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.